Hi, this is Gordon Deal. The award-winning Wall Street Journal this morning starts right after this.
Hi, I'm Lex Friedman. I run my own business called Podlexing. So I know from experience, hiring new employees can be tough. With so many job boards out there, how can you know which one will produce the best talent? Realistically, to fill the position fast and with the perfect candidate, you need to post your job on all the top job sites. And now you can do it with a single click with ZipRecruiter.com. ZipRecruiter.com lets you post to more than 40 job sites at once. ZipRecruiter.com also posts your job on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter. Just post once and watch the qualified candidates roll into ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. You can screen applicants, rate them, and hire the right people fast. Try ZipRecruiter free right now and find out why it's been used by over 100,000 businesses. And right now, listeners of this program can try ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/WSJ. That's ZipRecruiter.com/WSJ. One more time, to try ZipRecruiter for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/WSJ.
Live from the newsroom of the Wall Street Journal, this is the Wall Street Journal This Morning, America's first news with Gordon Deal.
Turkey searches for a cause. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Gina Cervetti. Welcome into Thursday. It is May 15. Here's what we have for you this hour.
The death toll is approaching 300 following an explosion and fire at a coal mine in the western city of Soma. Turkish investigators are trying to figure out what went wrong.
Homes have burned to the ground in Carlsbad, California due to a wildfire. Thousands have been evacuated.
The tension between the U.S. and Russia over the crisis in Ukraine is affecting the launching of satellites. We'll explain how in about 10 minutes.
And after years of delays, the National September 11 Memorial Museum opens next week in New York.
This is certainly a really important milestone, and we've seen a lot of progress. The plaza opened on the 10th anniversary of the terrorist attacks. Now the museum is opening. One World Trade is scheduled to open late this year. For these past dozen years, it has felt like a construction site. But we should soon be able to feel that it's more sort of becoming part of the fabric of Lower Manhattan.
Wall Street Journal reporter Jennifer Maloney has a preview of the museum. She's here later in the hour. Turkey's government is trying to manage the country's worst ever mining catastrophe as the mounting death toll has sparked protests. Wall Street Journal reporter Emre Peker says the mine explosion and ensuing fire on Tuesday in the city of Soma on the Aegean Sea has served as a new catalyst of public anger toward the government. He joins us from Istanbul this morning. Emre, what's the latest?
The death toll has risen again as the hours ticked along. Now we have 282 miners dead, and most of them have been evacuated, and the bodies of the deceased delivered to their families. The latest we have on the site is a final push to try and get out about 100 more miners trapped underground.
I know there have been a lot of protests that have emerged now. What's the complaint for those who are demonstrating?
This incident has served as yet another flashpoint in what's becoming increasingly polarized politics and social fabric in Turkey, Gordon. After the deaths, students and unions have taken to the streets to protest poor, shabby safety standards at workplaces. Of course, the government and the mining company that runs the mine in Soma are denying the charges, saying everyone was an insured on-board company employee. And the company itself has passed a total of 8 or so inspections in the last 3 years, most recently in mid-March when officials that went to the site didn't find any problems. But it's still not any ease on the public's conscience, and it's feeling anger that, the death toll was in the single digits and teens in the first 10 hours after the accident, but then started ramping up significantly, now approaching 300 in the deadliest mining catastrophe in Turkey's history.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Emre Peker in Istanbul, Turkey, about this deadly mine blast and fire in Soma, which is on the Aegean Sea. Any word on a cause at this point, Emre?
No, it still remains quite shoddy, Gordon. Initially, when the fire happened, it was said that a power unit inside the mine had exploded, triggering the fire. Mind you, most of the deaths aren't due to the explosion, but due to carbon monoxide poisoning, as you know, the fire eats up all the oxygen inside the mine. The company has refuted the initial claims by the government that the power unit had triggered the fire and said it was functioning perfectly well and was up to standard. And the government has retracted its initial claims too. There's to be an investigation into the causes of the fire, which is unfortunately still raging inside the mine.
Thanks, Emre. The Wall Street Journal reporter Emre Peker from Istanbul, Turkey. 11 minutes now after the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning.
We help farmers make the best use of their land, which means healthier crops, higher yields, and less harvesting hours, which is good news for a growing population and good news for the environment. BASF, the chemical company.
When I was pregnant, I got more advice than I knew what to do with. What I needed was information I could trust on how to take care of me and my baby. Luckily, United Healthcare has a simple program that helps moms stay on track with their doctors and get the right care and guidance before and after the baby is born. Simple is good right now.
Innovations that work for you. That's health in numbers. United Healthcare.
This portion of the program is brought to you by Vistaprint.com. You no longer need a lot of money to market your business. Vistaprint.com has everything you need to get the word out about your products and services without spending an arm and a leg. In fact, they have a low price guarantee for their premium business cards. So if you're not happy, they're not happy. You can call them up and they'll make it right. And for a limited time only, they're offering 250 premium business cards for only $10. That includes shipping. What a great deal. And if you ever need to order more cards, they have quantities up to 5,000. To get 250 premium business cards for $10 with shipping included, just go to Vistaprint.com and put in the promotional code WSJ in the cart to get this offer. Don't delay. Order your 250 high-quality premium business cards for only $10 today and get your shipping included. Just go to Vistaprint.com and put in the promotional code WSJ in your cart to get this offer. Mostly a friendly confirmation hearing for Sylvia Matthews-Burwell, the woman nominated as Health and Human Services Secretary. She told the Senate panel yesterday that the Federal Health Agency should use the full extent of the law to recover funds considered misspent on state insurance exchanges. She faced questions from Republicans who contend that hundreds of millions of dollars were wasted building problem-plagued state insurance websites under the Affordable Care Act. Separately, West Virginia Senator Jay Rockefeller was among Democrats singing her praises.
You're not just about budgets. You're about people. And you're about fighting for people that other people will not fight for. And you're fighting for people who could use a little help. And you're fair to people who don't need any help. You're just a fair person.
Although Senate Republicans used the hearing to attack Obamacare, they mostly had kind words for Ms. Burwell, who currently serves as Office of Management and Budget Director. She's expected to be confirmed by a majority of Senate Democrats and some Republicans. Between the U.S. and Russia on space technology may be crumbling. America's little-known reliance on Russian technology to launch its most sophisticated spy satellites has emerged now as a major issue. Wall Street Journal Pentagon correspondent Julian Barnes says the policy of partnering with Russia in space has turned from a foreign policy success to a source of friction as relations between Moscow and Washington have gone south over the annexation of Crimea and the ongoing crisis in broader Ukraine. He joins us on the T-Mobile hotline. Julian, what do we have here?
the Russians have the cheapest and most reliable engine that fits in the U.S. Atlas V rocket. And so the contractor, United Launch Alliance, who has a deal to put the bulk of U.S. spy satellites into space, uses that Russian engine. However, there are now questions about how long the U.S. will have access to that, and whether Russia will use that as a weapon as tensions rise between Moscow and Washington.
Is there any other option, or is this engine it?
Well, there is a competitor out there, SpaceX, the private launch company founded by Elon Musk, and they say they are getting ready to go to launch more and more American satellites. The Pentagon says SpaceX is not yet ready to launch the heaviest, most high-tech spy satellites, and they say that they have alternatives to the Russian engine. They are a little more expensive, older American engines, as well as reproducing, making their own version of the Russian engine. Why they have not yet been able to do that is primarily based on money and just the reliability of the Russian version and the fact that until now they thought they were going to have easy access to them.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal Pentagon correspondent Julian Barnes. Why is there a reluctance to go with SpaceX?
That really is the question at the heart of this issue here. The Air Force was badly scarred by a series of launch failures in the 90s and another series earlier in the 80s where they lost a lot of expensive satellites. They felt they hindered and their national security spy satellites. So they really have a very vigorous process to certify who can launch the most high-tech spy satellites into space.
Thanks, Julian. Wall Street Journal Pentagon correspondent Julian Barnes. 20 minutes now after the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Gina Cervetti is here. She has America's first news.
Good morning. Several homes are among more than 20 structures that have burned to the ground while thousands of people have been ordered to evacuate as a wildfire raged out of control in Carlsbad, north of San Diego.
I would suggest if you don't need to be out on the road, stay home. And if we've asked you to evacuate, please evacuate. Your life could be very, very much in danger here.
Carlsbad Mayor Matt Hall, the flames were fanned by strong wind gusts and triple-digit temperatures. This is just one of a handful of recent fires in that area. The World Health Organization is calling for urgent steps, including improved infection prevention at hospitals, to control the deadly MERS virus. Two doctors brought the illness from Saudi Arabia to the U.S. Federal health officials say that one of those patients in Indiana has fully recovered. The other doctor is hospitalized in Florida. Turkish labor unions called for a one-day strike today to protest poor safety standards, with now almost 300 people dead in a coal mining disaster in the western part of that country. Another 100 workers were still believed to be trapped in the mine. The captain and three senior crew members of a capsized South Korean ferry have been indicted for homicide. The April disaster killed more than 280 passengers. Prosecutors also indicted 11 other crew members on negligence charges. The crew is alleged to have escaped the sinking ship before many passengers did. The FCC today will consider rules that govern how broadband providers treat our internet traffic. A proposal by Chair Tom Wheeler would prevent those companies from blocking or slowing down the delivery of certain content, but would allow those companies to strike deals with content providers like video streaming sites for preferential treatment. U.S. stock futures are negative after a negative close yesterday for Wall Street, with the Dow down 101 points. The NASDAQ lost almost 30 and the S&P 500 9.
I really don't see any main reason, why the sell-off other than just a breather.
Gary Bradshaw is with Hodges Fund in Dallas. Two and a Half Men fans, get ready to say goodbye to TV's longest-running sitcom. CBS announced the show will end after the upcoming 12th season.
Men, 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 manly men.
Men, men, men. Well, ratings have remained decent, though reportedly not where they were when Charlie Sheen was on the show prior to his well-publicized departure that, of course, made way for Ashton Kutcher to co-star in that show with John Cryer.
All right. So next year is it.
Yeah, the upcoming 12th season.
Okay.
Now, you'll also remember, Gordon, that Angus T. Jones, who plays the half in the show,
yeah,
he made some alleged disparaging comments about the show at one time. And
yes.
I didn't realize this, but he hadn't actually appeared on the show since May of last year. So his role has gone down.
I didn't realize that. All right. Well, my son and I are disappointed that this season has ended, not the show, but the season has ended for Person of Interest.
That's a good one.
Another CBS program.
Yeah, yeah. I like that one too.
23 minutes after the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Time now for a small business update, and it's brought to you by T-Mobile. Unleash the potential of your business with T-Mobile, the company that's changing the way business does wireless. When you work for a handful of employers for a short period of time, you know it is job hopping. It sometimes has a negative image, but a new survey from CareerBuilder finds it doesn't necessarily carry the same stigma in today's job market. Here's CareerBuilder's Jennifer Grass. Jennifer, times have changed.
You know, before when someone joined a company, it was expected that the employee would be there for the next 10 or 20 years. Today, workers, especially younger generations, change jobs every few years or more often. You know, so they're gaining experience, they're building up skill sets, they're using this as a stepping stone to land a different job, a higher title, higher pay somewhere else. So we have a more transient workforce today, and the expectations of employers have changed. More than half of employers we surveyed said they actually have hired a job hopper. So this is someone who's worked for various companies for a short period of time. And nearly a third said they've come to expect workers to job hop.
Is there a certain age or career profile, Jennifer, that a typical job hopper fits into, or is it a little bit of everyone?
You know, it is a little bit of everyone. I do think that you see a higher tendency toward job hopping early on in people's careers when they're trying to find their footing. And employers understand that, too. When you're right out of college, you know, nearly half of employers expect those employees to stay with an organization for 2 years or less. There are some that expect new grads to stick around longer, 27%, so they expect them to stay there at least 5 years. As you get older in your career, as you're more established, employers would expect that you would stay with the company longer. 41% had said that job hopping actually becomes less acceptable when a worker reaches his or her early to mid-30s, so anywhere from 30 to 35. 28% said once you've hit 40, you shouldn't be hopping around anymore. So it really varies. And it also varies by industries. There are certain industries that you do see a lot more of that activity.
We're speaking with Jennifer Grass at CareerBuilder about job hopping. Are employers more inclined to hire someone who is not a job hopper?
You have to be careful because while employers are more accepting of job hoppers, they're still going to lean toward those candidates who have a pattern of longer tenure within organizations. They don't want to take the time and money to train someone, get that person up to speed, and then they see that person leave in 9 months. You want to make sure that you're staying with a company long enough to make an impact, that you're providing a return on the investment that company has made in you. Not only does that look better on your resume, it also helps you not to burn bridges with those organizations. It's very important.
Thanks, Jennifer. CareerBuilder's Jennifer Grass. 30 minutes now after the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. America was built by innovators and dreamers like you. To celebrate, LegalZoom dedicated this month to innovation by making it easy for you to file trademark or copyright applications, incorporate your business, or form an LLC. Call or visit LegalZoom.com. They'll provide the personal attention you need and help take care of all the details. For a limited time, get a special price on trademark and copyright applications by using the referral code WSJ at checkout. LegalZoom provides legal help through independent attorneys and self-help, but they're not a law firm.
Powered by the most trusted name in journalism, you're listening to The Wall Street Journal This Morning, America's First News.
Thanks for being with us on this Thursday, May 15. Gordon Deal with Gina Cervetti. Coming up this half hour, the death toll rises from a mine blast in Turkey. A wildfire destroys homes in Carlsbad, California. And a preview of the National 9/11 Memorial Museum, which opens next week in New York. We'll have that report in about 20 minutes. There are growing new allegations in Syria that the government attacked rebels and civilians with chlorine gas during its civil war. Wall Street Journal reporter Neftali Ben-David says now a high-stakes U.S.-Russian plan for destroying Syria's chemical weapons is in jeopardy. Naftali is with us live from Brussels this morning. Naftali, explain what's going on here.
Well, of course, there was this agreement reached between the U.S. and Russia with Syria's agreement to get rid of all of its chemical weapons. But part of that was that Syria had to sign what's called the Chemical Weapons Convention, this global treaty on chemical arms. And if they have, in fact, been using chlorine to attack their own citizens, as a growing number of allegations say, that would clearly be in violation of the whole agreement.
How recent is it alleged that they used this chlorine gas?
Well, it was starting in mid-April, and the last allegation is as recently as last week, and it's unclear how many there have been. Again, for now, these are all allegations, although the French foreign minister, who was visiting Washington this week, said that there have been 14 cases for which they have pretty good evidence. So that's a fairly senior official to be making some pretty serious accusations.
Well, have you had any reaction from the U.S. yet?
Well, the U.S. says that it's concerned, and they have certainly spoken of some of the evidence that there is. For example, there's some online videos that seem to show chlorine being dumped out of Syrian regime aircraft. But they also say the investigation has to take its course. Right now, the Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons, which is an international organization based in The Hague, has a fact-finding mission in Syria to try to figure out what's going on. So the U.S. position for now is, let's see what that turns up, and then we can decide how to proceed.
What kind of effect does chlorine gas have on the body, Naftali?
Well, it's a choking agent, so it can irritate your airways and your eyes and your skin. It's actually was first used in World War I. It was one of the first chemical weapons that gave rise to the international concern about the use of these kinds of these kinds of weapons. It's been overtaken by others in the past few decades because it's not considered a very effective or lethal chemical weapon. And chlorine is not banned under the Chemical Weapons Convention, although any use of chemicals, including chlorine, is banned. So a country's allowed to have it. They just not allowed to use it for belligerent purposes. So it's interesting that if these allegations are true, that this is the one that Syria is using.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Naftali Ben-David, who's with us this morning live from Brussels. All right, so where are we in terms of the deadline for eradicating chemical weapons, and how does the chlorine gas accusations play into that?
Well, it's actually sort of a separate issue. Under the agreement, all of Syria's chemical weapons were supposed to be removed from the country and then destroyed aboard a U.S. ship by June 30th. But right now, some of the chemicals remain in Syria. And because of that June 30th deadline has been threatened and very well may not be met.
All right. So the chlorine gas, do we know that, for example, that Syria has been hanging on to this and didn't report that they had it? Or is it possible that they acquired this after they signed the treaty to remove the chemical weapons?
Well, this is what's so delicate about it. You're allowed to have chlorine. They wouldn't have been violating any agreement by simply having chlorine. It's a very widely used chemical. We all know that it's used in swimming pools. It's used in household cleaners and so forth. So there's nothing illegal about having chlorine. However, you're not allowed to use it to attack anybody. So they wouldn't have been violating anything until they actually used it in these attacks, if, in fact, that is what happened.
Okay. So who is investigating now whether or not these allegations are true?
Well, that fact-finding mission is being run by the Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons. It's this international organization. It's based in The Hague. 190 countries are members of it, including the U.S., including Russia, and as of recently, including Syria. And they're sort of the global experts in this sort of thing. So the results of their mission there are going to be crucial, really, to what develops going forward.
Hey, thanks for a few minutes, Naftali. Wall Street Journal reporter Naftali Ben-David, live from Brussels. 21 minutes before the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Time now for an automotive update, and it's brought to you by Autotrader.com. Find a great deal on a brand new car at Autotrader.com. Compare prices and special offers on new cars from local dealers. Autotrader.com, the ultimate new car marketplace. In Australia, some carefree young travelers are getting a lot of attention, but it's not what you might think. It's not for their lewd behavior. It's for their lewd vehicles. Vans rented from a company called Wicked Campers seem to come equipped with suspicion and backlash, according to Wall Street Journal reporter Rob Taylor, who joins us live from Sydney, Australia. He's got what we call the A-head story in today's journal. Rob, good morning. Explain what these vans look like.
Hey, Gordon. Yeah, Wicked Campers have been been something of a sensation. They started up about 10 years ago with from about 10 or 15 vans and have now grown in Australia to a fleet of well over 1,000 and also internationally. The vans basically are fairly distinctive in whatever country they operate because they're fairly old and battered but covered in graffiti, and that means everything from hubcaps, you know, the entire thing is covered in graffiti. Much of it being fairly provocative and fairly, usually fairly sort of X-rated. Some of it's kind of band material, but they're basically, yeah, very lurid, very distinctive on the road.
All right, and so reaction has been what from those who don't like what they see painted on the sides of these vans?
Yeah, Wickeds had something of a sort of golden run, really. As I said, they started about 10 years ago, and their business has been growing exponentially. So they now operate in across Europe, in Australia, South Africa, and in the U.S., actually, and Canada. And they're on the cusp of a fairly big expansion drive. But interestingly, that's kind of under a bit of a threat at home because the messages of the vans are sort of starting to provoke some ire, really, in some of the really heavy tourism states in Australia. And a local mayor in the Sunshine Coast kicked this off. He sort of spotted some vans basically painted with genitalia going down the street. And it was a fairly family holiday area, and he decided that that was a step too far. And he's now appealed to the state government in that state, which is called Queensland. It's a very sort of tropical, similar to Miami perhaps in the States, and is starting to try and change the law to have the vans banned. So, yeah, there's a bit of a threat to their growth right there at the moment.
Isn't it true, too, that there are just some people on their own who are taking to whitewashing these vans?
That's true. Ground Zero, as we say in the story this morning, is a town called Noosa, which is one of Australia's holiday bright spots. It started out as a very hippie area. It's a famous beach break for surfers and things, but it's become very upmarket over the years. So now it's also home to not only a fairly bohemian crowd, but also a fairly well-heeled crowd of retirees and five-star hotels and ultra-deluxe restaurants and that sort of thing. And so these vans have been putting up there, and locals have been, on the more offensive ones, running up and whitewashing the backs of them. The particular issue seems to be, strangely, not the actual painted pictures on the vans, but a lot of them carry very pointed messages on the back, so they're famous for driving up behind them and seeing some sort of piece of provocative wisdom or whatever it may be, a famous quote. Some of them are fairly well known in the world, but others are sort of fairly deliberately sexual in nature or whatever. And it's really the messages on the back that seem to have been provoking the most ire in Australia. Some of them are pretty offensive. The owner, though, likes to cause a bit of offence, and in his view, is any publicity is good publicity, but not if it doesn't allow his vans on the road.
Yeah, good points. Hey, thanks for a few minutes. Wall Street Journal reporter Rob Taylor from Sydney, Australia. This being a family program, I was actually a little nervous to ask what some of those controversial phrases may be. But I think you get the picture of these vans, with some of them with genitalia painted on the side. 14 minutes before the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. America was built by innovators and dreamers like you. To celebrate, LegalZoom dedicated this month to innovation by making it easy for you to file trademark or copyright applications, incorporate your business, or form an LLC. Call or visit LegalZoom.com. They'll provide the personal attention you need and help take care of all the details. For a limited time, get a special price on trademark and copyright applications by using the referral code WSJ at checkout. LegalZoom provides legal help through independent attorneys and self-help, but they're not a law firm. Glad you're with us on this Friday eve, if you will. It is now 10 minutes before the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Gina Cervetti is back. She has America's first news.
Good morning. More than 20 structures, including several homes, have burned down in Carlsbad, California, and thousands of people have been ordered to evacuate amid a wildfire.
There certainly is a lot of speculation when you have this many fires breaking out in one day, but I think the message we want to get out is all those fires are under investigation. There is no conclusive evidence of the way they have started.
San Diego County Supervisor Diane Jacob, strong winds and high temperatures have been fanning the flames. A second fire broke out at Camp Pendleton, prompting evacuations. The new fires erupted just hours after crews made headway against a previous fire. The board at General Motors has hired a law firm to review how information about automobile defects was shared with board members. The Journal says that directors were not previously told of the troubles with small cars stalling due to a faulty ignition switch that's been tied to 13 deaths. For the first time, Google plans to release statistics documenting the diversity of its workforce amid growing pressure on the tech industry to hire more minorities and women. Google had resisted previous calls for it to share this data. A watchdog overseeing a $25 billion landmark mortgage settlement says that three of the nation's largest mortgage servicers have rectified failures to comply with parts of the deal. Bank of America, J.P. Morgan Chase, and Citigroup have passed all tests reviewing their compliance with the settlement. Stock futures this morning are narrowly mixed after a negative close for Wall Street yesterday. The Dow is down about 101 points. Gary Bradshaw with Hodges Funds in Dallas says he's not worried.
The market's been good. We set record highs the last few days and had four or five straight up days. And I really think, and we believe here at Hodges Capital, that it's just a little bit of a breather.
Former Top 40 radio personality Casey Kasem has reportedly been located in Washington State after his children raised concern about his whereabouts. This week, an L.A. court named Kasem's daughter temporary conservator for the 82-year-old, the latest legal tussle between Kasem's children and his wife over caretaking of Kasem, who suffers from dementia. An unusual story out of Seattle, where police were looking for a man who allegedly stole a toilet tank from a Subway sandwich shop bathroom as workers prepared his meal. Police said that after the man had been in the restroom for a while, his wife finally left. Eventually, he emerged carrying a large garbage bag and left, and that's when an employee noticed that the toilet was missing.
Okay.
That might be one of the more unusual stories we hear today.
No, I'm going to be with you on that one. I'm going to need a salami, lettuce, tomato, a little oil and vinegar, and a toilet tank for that sandwich.
Yes.
Yeah, makes total sense. 7 minutes now in front of the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning.
Hi, I'm Lex Friedman. I run my own business called Podlexing, so I know from experience, hiring new employees can be tough. With so many job boards out there, how can you know which one will produce the best talent? Realistically, to fill the position fast and with the perfect candidate, you need to post your job on all the top job sites. And now you can do it with a single click with ZipRecruiter.com. ZipRecruiter.com lets you post to more than 40 job sites at once. ZipRecruiter.com also posts your job on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter. Just post once and watch the qualified candidates roll into ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. You can screen applicants, rate them, and hire the right people fast. Try ZipRecruiter free right now and find out why it's been used by over 100,000 businesses. And right now, listeners of this program can try ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/WSJ. That's ZipRecruiter.com/WSJ. One more time, to try ZipRecruiter for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/WSJ.
The National September 11 Memorial Museum opens to the public next week. It includes artifacts large and small that tell the story of the terror attacks nearly 13 years ago. More from Wall Street Journal reporter Jennifer Maloney in New York. Jennifer, what will we see when we visit?
What visitors will see is that there is a glass pavilion on the Memorial Plaza. We've seen images of the Memorial Plaza. Millions of people have visited. This is a space that has two giant reflecting pools in the footprints of the Twin Towers. For the museum, you enter from that plaza and you go deep underground to bedrock level, to the very foundations of the World Trade Center. And there, the Memorial Foundation has built a museum that tells the stories of the people who died, the people who lived, and how the world changed that day.
What kinds of crowds are we expecting at this museum when it does open, Jennifer?
Well, the Memorial Plaza has attracted about 5 million people per year, and the foundation officials expect about half that number to go through the museum. The general admission price has been set at $24, but there will be free hours for the public on Tuesday evenings, and family members and first responders will be able to enter free at any time.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Jennifer Maloney in New York. The opening of this museum has been a long time coming, and there have been many challenges along the way. What happened to finally clear the path for this?
You're right. The opening of the museum follows more than a dozen years of lawsuits and emotionally charged debates, political wrangling, and construction delays. One of those delays involves a period of about a year after the 10th anniversary of the terrorist attacks, where construction on the museum was basically ground to a halt for a whole year because then Mayor Michael Bloomberg was struggling in a conflict with the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey and the governors of New York and New Jersey. Over unexpected construction costs and then over control over events at the site, including the anniversary ceremonies. So it took a year for them to sort out their differences and negotiate a compromise, and construction got underway again. So finally, after many delays, we're finally seeing the museum open.
Thanks, Jennifer. Wall Street Journal reporter Jennifer Maloney in New York. President Obama will be there today for the official dedication. For Gina Cervetti, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to The Wall Street Journal This Morning. For more, follow The Wall Street Journal This Morning on Facebook and Twitter, and now on TuneIn.